everybody. Welcome to the River Valley Podcast. My name is Kirk Graham, and I'm here with Pastor Logan
Kettering. I'm back. Hello.
Hey, are you on the other side of the world right now in your brain?
Well, the Singapore's 13 hours ahead, and at the time of recording, I just landed yesterday. So,
welcome home.
Yeah.
How's your trip?
Oh, it was great. It was a great trip.
What's going on in Singapore these days? That's what I've been wondering. I've been thinking about that.
Yeah, I know. It's keeping you up at night. Singapore is a crazy, crazy country. It is a relatively free country, but so they're free to exercise religion.
Yep.
So there's a lot of Christians there, which is awesome. But they're also not allowed to disparage other people's religions. So like even Pastor Rob said something that wasn't even disparaging at all, but like just very, very small. And they're like, hey, you can't say that. Like one guy disparaged like Islam and he got literally kicked out of the country, never can come back again. You know,
at the conference you were just at?
No,
or
not,
that's historical.
No, it's one of the pastors that visited their church, not this last week.
Can't come back to Singapore.
Can't ever come back to Singapore.
No.
Yeah. And so it is interesting. It's very like, again, there's freedom of religion, but there is this authoritarian underbelly. I mean, if you have 2 grams of hard drugs, you get the death penalty.
Wow.
So, I mean, it is very different in like, they're super strict on crime. They're super strict on everything. And it really, I mean, theologically, I wouldn't say it messed with me, but it really made me consider like, wow, we in America, I think, have such a different view because we have the freedoms that come.
Like freedom of speech.
Yeah, freedom of speech and all those things. But in scripture, none of those things are necessarily from God. Now, the right to life, that is from God.
Yep.
That comes directly. But like most of the Bible is under an authoritarian regime. You know, you look throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament. And so it kind of was interesting to think about that. Like, because I said like, that's crazy. Like, I would never think to kill somebody for doing drugs. And they're like, well, why not? Like, it's wrong. Like, we don't want people doing drugs in our society. I guess that's an interesting thought. Like, again, I'm not saying that's what I'm advocating for, but I think like the freedoms that we have and like liberalism, not like liberal, but like liberalism freedoms, I think has shaped our worldview a lot to say, no, that's like what God wants us to have. And it's like, well, maybe.
Yeah.
God is the God of the free land and the oppressed land.
Yep.
God was speaking to me over there too, is like they're free. They have freedom and authoritarianism in one place. And it was a really weird place because of it.
So in Singapore, can you preach the entire Bible?
You can preach the entire Bible with the exception of as long as you're not disparaging another religion. So you could say Jesus is the only way to heaven. You could say that, but you couldn't say people of Islam are leading you astray.
What about the name above every other name? The name by which every knee will bow.
I think you could say that. I would need to have one of my Singaporean friends clarify, but I do think you could say that. You can preach the whole Bible in that respect. You just can't disparage other religions.
What did Pastor Rob say that they were like, hey?
Well, he tells a story from Plan Vision Dream he shares a story he shared with our church recently, Clive and Mary Beckingham, they're missionaries to Kenya. And they had this guy who was adopting somebody from their orphanage. And he said, this is like the best day of my friend's life. Like, you're helping my friends. Is there a vision in your heart? And he says, and they said, yeah, we want to build this orphanage. And he says, I own one of the largest construction companies in Kenya. I'm going to build your vision for you for free. And what my dad said is he said, and this guy wasn't even a Christian. He was a Buddhist. How many of you know God could even use a Buddhist to accomplish his vision? And they said, the one word you said that is even. And they said that could be disparaging. And so it's crazy that like, and I'm not criticizing the church. They're saying we live in this government and we want to protect you because we don't want to get you banned from Singapore. We also don't want to damage this church. But it's just like the not having freedom of speech, but having a capitalistic society in Singapore that is again, very safe, very economically strong, one of the wealthiest nations. Many of the people that were attending the conference that we were at, that Pastor Rob was speaking at, are from nations all over Asia. So yep. Bangladesh, Indonesia, India, Malaysia, I mean, places all over the world. But yeah, just it makes you wonder, like, oh, wow, I can worship God in an authoritarian place, but Singapore doesn't feel like it's authoritarian because it's so wealthy.
Yep.
And so—
You were sharing with some of the central staff, Pastor Rob is pumped up coming back from Singapore. What's some of the, like, not that you have to speak for him, but what are some of the things that he was expressing to you as he experienced? You can share, they did basically their version of miracle offering at this church.
Right.
What are some of the things that Pastor Rob's like, dude, I'm amped, let's go.
So the church in Singapore has been led by a guy named Dominic Yeo. He spoke at River Valley a couple years ago. And he's now just got elected to be the superintendent of the World Assemblies of God, or like the chairman of the World Assemblies of God. There's close to 80 million adherents, people that would call the Assemblies of God their home churches. And so he oversees this kind of, he's like the chairman of the board of the World Assemblies of God Council. Mm. Now in the U.S. is a guy named Doug Clay. He oversees the U.S. Assemblies of God. But in the world, Dominic just got elected, so he handed over his church. So as you mentioned, they had their kind of version of a miracle offering. The way they do it is they pledge to give earlier in the year, and then they kind of raise it throughout the year. Whereas for us, we set a goal, and then everyone, you know, prays about what their goal is. But we don't actually ask people at River Valley to turn in a card. But they did. They turned in the card. And what was crazy is they actually turned in the cards, and they counted it right then. Like literally, they had 20 of their pastors go up on at the front with tables, and they're counting up the numbers in real time to celebrate. So within 10 or 15 minutes, they have the total, but they're reading numbers off like, hey, this person, they didn't say who it was, but they just said, hey, this person pledged to 10,000. You know, this person pledged 5,000, but you know, they're going through.
Wow.
And their pledges just in that service. Now they do two a year. One, they kind of do Kingdom Builders a little bit different than we do. They don't call it that, but they do half of theirs for missions and then the other half for their buildings. And they said both are about the
not 50% and 50% of their total giving.
No, no, no.
Just one of the miracle offerings.
So this one was for missions.
Missions miracle offering.
And so they did it, and they had 12.5 million Singapore dollars in pledges, which is about 10 million US.
Yeah, wow.
And just for missions. And then they said later in the year, they'll get another 10 million US pledge for their buildings and their local, you know, expansion. So that would put their Kingdom Builders pledges at about 20 million US dollars. And they said usually about 80% of the pledges come in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we're talking
15, 16 million dollars
for their Kingdom Builders. So it is crazy to us. We're number one in the US in the Assemblies of God, but there's still another church
there
in Singapore,
ahead,
you know, and Pastor Rob preached Plan, Vision, Dream and had, you know, it was just amazing to see people getting ministered to. He actually shared Connor's healing story as he does most of the time when he's on the road, just at the beginning. He's like, Connor was healed. I have to share the story about him getting healed from autism. And this mom came up after service and she's just bawling and she's like, can you pray for my son? My son has autism. And, he told her, and it was like totally impressed on the Holy Spirit. And he said, I just want to tell you right now, you didn't do anything wrong. A lot of times parents with children who have difficulties, whether that be with special needs or that be a health issue, you're like, did I do something wrong in my life for that to happen? And he tells her, you didn't do anything wrong. This is just sin. It's the result of sin. And she just starts bawling. And she's like, I've felt that way before.
Like freedom.
You know, total freedom. And so just even witnessing that, and my dad's like, if that's the only reason I came here, it was worth it for her to get that freedom. But getting to pray with superintendents from Zambia and Congo and Kenya and people from all over the world. Dr. Barnabas, who's spoken at River Valley before, he was there from Tanzania. Some of the greatest leaders in the world in the AG.
How many people asked him to come to their country?
Oh, yeah, like a dozen people were like, you should come to Ghana, you should come to Zambia, you should come to Kenya, you should come here. So I kind of help him with his calendar, and I'm like, well, we'll see if we can make those work. But but no, it was awesome. And I know the question was, what is he fired up about? He's just fired up because he's like, we can do more for Kingdom Builders to continue to impact the world. And even though we're leading the way in the U.S., there's other examples around the world that are just doing an incredible job. But also, I just think he something he's really fired up about, and this is something we're going to need your help on for those who are listening. And I know Tyler from Crosstown has been reaching out. Hey, I want to help with this. But he's like, I just want to share more testimonies of people in our church.
Yep.
He's like, I really just want to share more testimonies. Last week on Talking Church, sat down with Ryan, and that was an amazing testimony. But my dad's like, we need more testimonies. We need to be more bold with our faith and just share what God has done in our life. So I'm excited for the future of that, to just bring in more testimonies, whether it's here on the podcast, whether it's starting a different podcast, whether it's doing a YouTube channel, whether it's in a blog format. I don't know exactly what that looks like, but he was just like, we got to share more testimonies.
It'd almost be awesome, not that we need to brainstorm on this podcast episode, but it'd be almost awesome to create like a calendar that the church could submit their testimony in writing. And then book a time slot.
Yeah.
And we actually just, if they're from Shakopee, have one of the Shakopee pastors come over and host it and come to the podcast studio here at Central as it gets completed. And just allow, people are like, I need to share my testimony. God did this. So they submit it in writing, pick a time, and then it's like a kind of an automatic A-OK, get a pastor to kind of vouch the relationship, say, you know, or whatever. Confirming that, you know, it's the Lord did something. It's awesome. That would be a way to capture just a whole bunch, you know,
right?
Versus, I don't know.
The other thing that we were talking about, so we talked about the AI. I know what we played the video, the AI video of him speaking in Arabic and Mandarin. We played that because the official language of Singapore is English and Mandarin. So everyone from the church also spoke Mandarin. We played it for them. The Mandarin,
while he spoke?
No. Not while he was speaking, but just at dinner.
You played that clip just in front of everybody.
No, we didn't. But we played it at dinner to the people that were there. Yep. And they said, it is perfect Mandarin, no mistakes.
Wow.
They said 100% it's perfect. And so we're just like trying to process this, that we have this AI tool that can translate stuff in other languages, and there was someone else who spoke Spanish. We showed the Spanish thing there. He said it's perfect. Like he said obviously there's some, you know, cultural context things that might not perfectly translate.
Yeah,
but it's I don't know. It's good enough for some sort of use, whether it's the whole sermon or it's a greeting or it's an ad. We're just trying to process this, and I'm sure you guys as well at your companies, wherever you are, you're trying to figure out how to utilize AI. But we are.
Yeah, I'm halfway through the interview. There's a guy named Lex Friedman who does. An amazing interviewer, and his most recent podcast episode is with Sam Altman, who's the CEO of OpenAI, and they're talking about ChatGPT-5 and then AGI and what's going to happen most likely in the next 10 years, and it is just wild to think about. It's almost like we're entering the same level of how the Industrial Revolution changed America and also changed the world, and then also how the internet and then also Google search and the iPhone, we are on the brink of. And Sam was saying, it's kind of a tangent, but Sam was saying, even ChatGPT and all these AI tools, that hasn't actually been the shift. It's more of it's shifted culture's belief that change is about to come. Like, so now everybody's like, something's about to happen. But he was saying the shift will, you'll know that a global shift is taking place when it actually changes the global economy. Mm. When the economy changes and it's because of the technology, it's putting much more resources in people's hands. Because of whatever AI can do or whatever robots could do or whatever, like that's coming in the next 10 years.
Well, think about even cryptocurrency, that's newer integration than AI. Like crypto kind of has been around longer than AI has, at least in the conversations of the news conversations.
Yep.
Crypto hasn't really changed the economy yet. Now there's people who believe in it. There's Bitcoin's kind of close to a high, but most people's lives haven't been completely transformed by blockchain and cryptocurrency. Now, I think there's still a reality that will happen soon. I'm a believer that blockchain technology is going to
hold on to your 500 Bitcoin.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Man, that would be awesome if I had that. A great time to give through our website. You can give cryptocurrency.
That's so funny.
But I know people are probably saying, okay, what are we talking about here? This is the River Valley Podcast. But I do think it's important for us.
This is what's happening in the world,
man.
It
is. It is. But I just think that, I think he's totally right. On one hand, though, and I was talking about this with people in Singapore with AI, I think we're so caught up that, oh, it's changing, it's changing, it's changing, it's changing. You say that all the way through the change, mm-hmm. and people adapt. I mean, there are people using crypto and AI and blockchain right now in their companies, and no sweat. Like, humanity hasn't changed its nature since the very beginning. We are selfish beings because of sin. God is still on the throne. Yep. Whether AI exists, I mean, people said that. I mean, Y2K. I was like 4 years old, but like people said that then. People said when phones came out, oh man, phones are going to ruin society. The fact that you can call somebody from across the world. People have been saying this forever. So I would just encourage you to not be living in fear of AI and cryptocurrency and all this, and say this is another tool that we can utilize. I mean, we're recording this right now on laptops that you would not think existed.
Yeah, 1980.
Yeah,
we would be like space aliens.
Totally.
If you could see us right now.
Right. Right.
With microphones and.
So yeah. I think that there's not a lot to fear in the sense of the overall shift, but we do need to learn as believers how to utilize it, to redeem it, to bring glory. I do think deep fakes is something that is a potential snag for us that is going to trap people to where it's like, if I can literally pretend to be you and it looks like I'm you and it sounds like I'm you, but you didn't actually say that. I do think those things are scary.
That's a huge problem, yeah.
But I don't think it's anything that we aren't going to figure out as a society, you know.
And government will get involved. And I think that that's actually probably a good thing, is some type of regulation around there. Speaking of 1980, I just saw this. I'm trying to steer the ship back towards what we're going to talk about, but real quick, I just saw this meme that said songs from the 2000s, which is kind of when I was in middle school and high school, songs from the 2000s are now the same age as 80s songs in the year 2000.
Right. 2004 was 20 years ago, friends.
I know, but I like the music I was listening to, like pop punk music, that music is as old as 80s songs were when it was 2000. That's crazy to me. It kind of blew my mind. Totally makes sense, but
it is crazy because it does feel, I feel like because of all the technology that we're talking about, it has made the 80s and 90s feel like that much longer ago.
Oh yeah.
Because if you're to say right now, which we just said, like 2004 is 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel the same as what when 2004 was to 1980 because technology was so different. But then if you really were to think about what technology was like in 2004 versus the gap between 84 and 2004,
yep.
The gap between 2004 and 2024 is even bigger.
Bigger, yeah.
But it doesn't feel that way. And that's kind of my point. Yeah. Because we adapt. I mean, the iPhone didn't come out till what, 2007? I mean,
yeah.
It's crazy that how fast it's grown, but I think we adapt. I mean, that's what we do.
Yeah.
So
we'll continue to adapt.
Speaking of all this, we're in this series Made for Mondays.
Yep.
You just preached this last weekend.
Yeah, it's true. Brad had a great interview with Brad McCoy. Amazing feedback. I love that Pastor Rob made that suggestion and just saying, hey, we should get a marketplace leader in front of the church just to be able to say, and there was actually somebody that did give the feedback of like, everything that Brad shared is what I battle and deal with every day going to work.
So awesome.
And it was incredibly encouraging that, man, I'm doing the same thing as Brad. I'm trying to be a light in the workplace and live out my calling. Not as a compartmentalized Christian, that I'm a Christian on Sunday, I go worship the Lord, and then I go to my workplace, I leave all the Christian stuff at home, and I'm just a good person doing a good job at work. No, I'm bringing my full Christian, as Brad said, authentic self to work. And that's what a lot of the secular workplaces, their diversity, equity, inclusion, and their HR programs are saying, we're making space for everybody's authentic self. And Brad saying, then that means as a Christ follower, I get to bring my full authentic,
right,
spirit-filled self to work. And I'm going to do that.
totally. No, that's so good. I think that this series is one that we could do every year.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, you could do it all the time.
Agreed.
I think there are people that need this. Most people that are listening are not in ministry. You all are working in the marketplace. And for us who are in ministry, we are praying for you all the time. And in some ways, I find myself jealous of that opportunity to talk to people. You know, on the plane yesterday, I was talking to a guy and just about faith and life and church and what I do. And I love that. I love sharing my faith with people. I love telling that, telling the story. Before I worked in the church, I worked in fashion space and in fashion retail. And I loved it. I loved sharing it. I felt so obvious on how God could use my work. I've never struggled with that, on connecting my work to bring him glory. And I know many people do.
Yeah.
And you know, we talked about it even these last couple of weeks. And so this question was answered in a small way, but I think an expansion would be helpful. Melanie sent me a message on Instagram. She said, one more question from the Made for Monday series. Does God call us to a specific vocation, or are we just called generally to live out our lives as Christians? I struggle a lot with my job and career path, wondering if we're meant to just suffer through it. How can we, for those of us with depressing jobs, be encouraged when we can't leave?
I would ask more questions to Melanie just about that last statement of I can't leave.
Right.
So I don't know this specific example. I love the question. I'm really grateful that people are asking questions like that. It's really heartfelt. I'm a believer that God has given each person unique gifts, skills, talents, personality, charisma, introvert, extrovert. We're all wired differently, uniquely, and intentionally. And one of the quotes that I shared, which is a quote that Pastor Rob shared 7 years ago, I forget the guy's name, Jeffrey something, but he said, God is a great opportunist, and I'm gonna botch it, but just basically saying he's intentionally placing people in different positions, and he needs each Christ follower, he needs the church in their divine spots. And I use the example from John Bevere, Driven by Eternity, where when we get to heaven and Jesus calls out, now, like at the judgment seat of Christ, I need Kirk the lawyer to come forward.
Yeah, that was powerful.
And I'm like, Lord, my name's Kirk, but I was a pastor. Is there a different Kirk the lawyer? And he says to me, no, I'm calling you. I made you to be a lawyer, but you chose to be a pastor.
Yeah, we know it's not true.
It's not true. Yeah, I feel made to be a pastor, but I'm using that example because I didn't want to call out anybody else or make up a fake example. That I would believe to Melanie that God created you specifically, intentionally for a purpose, not just a general purpose, but for a specific purpose. Now, you can hold a bunch of different jobs, and I'm not saying it's like a specific company, a specific. I mean, I believe it both intention that God has, he does have a specific spot for you, and also, it's kind of like marriage to me. It's like I could have married anybody, but when I married Kaylee, that is God's specific will for me. And I think as you step into the marketplace and job, you say yes to it. There's a lot of good and godly work for you to do while you're there. And he can lead you to the next workplace and the next workplace. I don't know if I'm answering it fully for her. The answer is yes. My answer would be yes, that God has a specific spot for you. And if you're going to work every single day suffering, you need to pray saying, God, get me out of the suffering season and show me, where do you want me? What do you want me to do? And we talked about this weekend, the good that he does through the suffering or through the difficulty. So it's not always escapism, but if you're thinking God's will for my life is for me to just spend the rest of my working career depressed every day going to work, that is not God's will for your life. And I would encourage you, pray and get godly counsel and wisdom. People that know you, know your gifts, know how you're wired, know what you're passionate about, to help steer you towards a career that is much more fulfilling.
Well, and even being in Singapore, it's continues to challenge my assumptions. That's why I love travel so much. But I think we so often have a what is the term that I'm looking for? A self-centered view. And that sounds so, I'm not trying to put anyone to sound like they're arrogant, but we are. We are self-centered. Mm-hmm. Versus, God, how do you want to use the gifts that you've given me to serve you?
Yep.
And so you mentioned, I think there's a specific calling. I think the right question is, how specific? There was a guy that I met in Singapore. His name's Jason. He is from California. He's an evangelist. And he was speaking at the conference as well. And I really, really want to sit down with him on the Talking Church podcast because he preached this message called The Golden Thread. And I was trying to find my notes. I don't want to botch what he's saying. But basically his point is, there is a thread in your life that God has you on, but there's variations to that plan that God can still bless for you.
Yep.
But there are gifts, specific gifts in your life that are obvious to others and are obvious to other people. And I think that we're often looking for that one, like, what is the one job position at that company that I'm supposed to be doing? That's very specific. Like, I'm supposed to be the associate marketing director for, you know, General Mills or whatever. Like, that's my, like, that's what I'm supposed to be doing. That was what I was made to do. I don't know that that's what God means by us being called or what even what you're saying. Mm-hmm. What I do think, though, is that there are some people that God has just obviously gifted to be marketers. And there are some people that are obviously gifted to work in certain industries or in certain places, and they can find fulfillment in their work. But then there's other people. And I think we miss this because we think if it's hard, it's wrong. Mm-hmm. Just because it's hard doesn't mean it's wrong. You know what's really hard? Pastoring. Yeah. Pastoring is very hard. It's studies are shown it's one of the most stressful jobs for people is being a pastor. But that doesn't mean that we don't think that's where God wants us to be.
Yeah.
It may be hard, it may be stressful, but doesn't mean it's wrong. The biggest thing I think that is a red flag from this question, Melanie, for you and for anyone else who's asking it, is if I'm not finding fulfillment and connection to the area or to God's specific call on my life into my job.
Yep.
If you're not connecting the dots between how you glorify God through your job, no matter how difficult it is, no matter how good or bad the pay is, if you're not finding fulfillment, that's where I think you need to consider leaving. Because if the answer is I can't leave, well, that's slavery if you can't leave, right? Versus, no, I can leave and find another job. Maybe it doesn't pay as well. Maybe you need to rearrange. Maybe you need to move. Maybe you need to change something in your life, and you can't live in the house you lived in, or you can't drive the cars you lived in, or you won't have maybe the same friends you lived in. But if you're not finding fulfillment in, and again, not fulfillment in every single day and every single thing I do, I'm on over the moon and I'm on the top of the clouds.
Yep.
Fulfillment being I can connect what I do to the call of God and his scripture and how I'm being used by him in the work that I'm doing. We all should be able to do that on a macro level.
Yep.
And if we can't do that, and again, maybe you need to meet with a pastor, maybe you need to meet with a friend. I love what you said, Kirk, with you got to get friends around your life. But I think it'd be fun maybe next week if we get the time to just take a list of all these different vocations. And maybe if you're listening, send me or Kirk what you do for your job. And I would love you and me, Kirk, to externally process how we could see that role fulfilling the Great Commission. And so if you send us an email, send Kirk and I a DM, just what your job is or what maybe a small description or your job title, I think it'd be fun next week to just share, here's a list of all these things. And even just from the outside looking in, not even knowing what your day-to-day look like, I think Kirk and I probably would be able to share a ton of ways that you could fulfill that. But maybe if you're struggling, let that be a fun exercise for you to do. And if it's not us, let it be another friend as well.
Yeah. Don't need to prolong the answer to the question. I did just want to say that I'm called to build the local church. I truly feel that. And my current assignment is doing that at River Valley in my current role. And I think calling an assignment is something just to differentiate that, you know, figuring out what you're called to do or what you are made to do is different than your current assignment. And so, you know, I don't know what the Lord has for my future, but I do know that my calling, whether it's at River Valley or anywhere else, what I feel called to do deeply, what I feel made to do is to build local church. What is the thing that you feel made to do? There are many assignments that might fit that call of God on your life.
I do want to share something that is a total 180, but I feel like it's appropriate to share on this podcast to just be praying and also just be aware as citizens. Pastor Rob just texted this to a group that I'm in, but he posted on X, also formerly Twitter. I'm just going to read his post on X. You know, this was Tuesday that he just posted this. With a 1 a.m. hearing, the Minnesota Senate voted to attack religious freedom in Minnesota. There's no exception for religious schools or faith groups to hold their beliefs when it comes to gender. Let me be clear, it's an attack on the First Amendment and a hostile act to people of faith, Christians, Muslims, Jews, all faiths, spoke in favor of a religious exemption. One, we will defy this vote, believing it's unconstitutional. Sadly, we will have to challenge this in court all the way to the U.S. Supreme Court if necessary. Two, Democrats have clearly shown a hostility to people of faith that believe in basic biology and hold deeply held religious beliefs. As we pursue freedom of religion, people of faith, we now have to work to unite and defeat any Democrats in Minnesota to simply restore the moderation to restore moderation to Minnesota. The giant has awakened. How does this ruling really have any bearing on freedom of religion? This ruling states, in effect, that Christians are wrong to believe basic biology and what their religion teaches. The following theological issues are affected. A, the creation account of male and female. B, the words of Jesus saying God created them male and female. C, Romans 12:1, which deals with body-mind conflict. D, salvation affects the body, soul, and spirit. E, mentoring ministries in the church as described in Titus 2. F, the body of our Lord Savior and his glorified body after the resurrection, G, the glorified bodies of the believers, and H, the qualification of the church leaders and ministers. In effect, the Democrat-controlled House and Senate in Minnesota, along with our Democrat governor, has created a new religion, a progressive religion that has deemed Christianity incompatible with the state of Minnesota. I will be speaking about this in the future, but their decision is a hostile act to all people of faith in Minnesota. For we as Christians will self-examine and will be hospitable to people we disagree with. We will help those who desire a pathway to wholeness and be fellow Minnesotan, respecting people's religious and internal beliefs. We will not force our beliefs on anyone, but allow the freedom of religion, including the freedom to not be religious. This is the time that the church must join with other faith groups and defend our rights. Let me be clear, the church is not getting political. Politics has become religious. If we do not stand up now, when will we stand up? Pray, let your voice be heard. Stand up, do not hide, and be ready to face the lion's den if necessary. This is no longer a hypothetical. It is a current reality of a law created to trap and prosecute people of faith. God help us. That's end quote. It was a long.
So it made it through House and Senate.
Yes. So, well, it was struck down. So let me give some context here. I know this podcast episode is going to go long, but I just got this text and I want to update people. So this law was passed last year that basically said you cannot discriminate against hiring anyone based upon their gender identity or gender expression or whether they're transgender or not. Most of you who are listening, your companies cannot do this. They can't discriminate based on any basis. As a religious institution, we believe that we and the Constitution has held that religious institutions can hire based upon preference due to their religious beliefs. They intentionally did not have an exemption for people of faith, and the Republican caucus went forward and said, "Hey, this must be an oversight. You must have meant to put an exemption for people of faith because that's historically what there's been exemptions for things that conflict with religious beliefs." And on the floor 2 weeks ago, they said, no, we did not. We intended to not have an exemption. And so actually Pastor Rob, Archbishop of the Catholic Church, multiple people, they had a scheduled hearing last week. Pastor Rob actually flew back early from that conference last week in Houston, flew back early to testify to the Senate to share how they must have this exemption and how we as people need to have this religious freedom. There was leaders from the Muslim faith, leaders from the Jewish faith, leaders from the Catholic Church. Pastor Rob was ready to testify, and they canceled the hearing. They canceled the hearing 2 weeks ago. Then what just happened, they did a 1 a.m. hearing without telling anyone, giving any advance notice. They did this and voted against this and struck it down. So there's no exemption for religious schools or faith groups to hold the beliefs when it comes to gender. And so just want people to have context that we were going to make our voice heard. We were going to show up to the Capitol. We were going to testify about this. They canceled the hearing. A week later, they did it in the dark of night and canceled this so that there is still no exemption. And they did this so that people wouldn't revolt and try to do this quietly. And so, you know, Pastor Rob's heart has never been to get into this arena. He's always tried to avoid it. But in the last several years, it's become more and more and increasingly difficult to do. If this was the Republicans that were doing this, we absolutely be calling them out as well. But I just think that it is something we need to pray about and something we really need to consider. And we as a church, you know, this is Pastor Rob's personal capacity on Twitter. This is not a church, you know, River Valley position. This is Pastor Rob's personal Twitter that he's able to do. But we do want people to be informed about what's happening. And so hopefully that makes sense.
Yeah, thanks for that update. And love that our lead pastor is leading the way. And, you know, we're talking about being a light in the dark in this series called Made for Mondays. And now we as the church collectively, as well as pastors, it's not just the marketplace leaders that have to live this out, but we as pastors also, and as the church collectively, we all get to be a light in a state that right now is attacking religious freedom. So let's do it together. Let's go to prayer right now and just continue to believe that the Lord is moving in our church, and he's not intimidated. We started the podcast talking about Singapore and talking about in the Bible.
Yeah.
You know, the Bible is under oppressive regimes and Christianity flourishes. And I'm not saying Minnesota is an oppressive regime. I just, there is an attack on the church and religious freedom. And now's the time to pray that we can be a light in the dark.
No doubt. No matter what happens in our government, God is on the throne and we will worship him and no matter what. But of course, we want to make sure this could have a very damaging effect on religious schools, on, you know, university, North Central University, many Christian schools that students attend. If they're not willing to abide by this, they could lose funding or be shut down. So these are things that we really want to pray for. Kirk, I think it would just make sense. I know there's a lot of prayer requests, but I think if you just want to pray for our state, pray for all those who are in workplaces, all those who work at Christian schools, who are in a religious environment, mm-hmm. as well as those who are outside of that seeing church and seeing people of faith stand up against this, there's going to be many people in their companies that are having tough conversations that feel ill-equipped maybe to handle it, but you just pray for them that the Holy Spirit would guide their words, would guide their conversation, and realizing that we have the ability to stand up in this country, but ultimately that God is on the throne.
Yes, Lord, we just come to you right now. I thank you for our church. Thank you for what we get to be a part of and just what we've been preaching, that we were made to be a light in the dark. And I just real quickly pray over all of the needs in our church. You see them all. You care about them all. There's people right now. I know there's people that are fighting for their loved ones. You know, there's life and death on the line, people coming out of surgeries and there's sickness and challenges. God, I also heard a healing testimony today, and God, you're able to do the miraculous that just surprises the doctors. And so we just ask for healing, restoration, total, Pastor Rob's sharing, we want to share more testimonies. God, would you perform miracles so that there are more testimonies to be shared? And right now we just pray what's happening in our state, an attack on the Church of Jesus Christ and religious freedom. I pray that we would fight still in a winsome way, that the world that is lost would know that there is a God who loves them, is in pursuit after them. But I do pray that right now the church and religious organizations would win this battle to have the right to be able to hire and include based on what we believe is right. And so, Lord, I just pray that even if it has to go to the Supreme Court, that this would be overturned and we'd be able to operate our churches and colleges and universities and nonprofits would be able to operate in a way that has the religious freedom to really in every aspect of what I'm praying, in every aspect, stand on the word of God, and that there would be no law that would force us to go against the word of God. We're not going to do it anyways. Like Pastor Rob said, we will defy it because the word of God is our highest authority by which our lives are governed, and we're going to stand on that. But Lord, I just pray that this battle would not be something that is ugly. It would be something that is winsome, that the light of Jesus Christ would be so attractive, and this would be swift and quick and overturned, even if it takes the Supreme Court. We just pray that your hand would be on our state, that Lord, you're able to speak to the hearts of leaders. We see it in the Bible that you show up in dreams and in visions, Lord, that you can go anywhere you want to go. So we pray that you'd speak to our governor, you'd speak to the Senate leaders, you'd speak to the House, you'd speak to all of the authorities that will be involved in overturning this law to continue something that is unconstitutional. We have great confidence that it'll be overturned. We ask that there would be a future for Minnesota that is vibrant and bright, that the Church of Jesus Christ can stand on the word of God and within the law of the land. Pray this in Jesus' name. Everybody said,
amen.
Amen.
There's a God who can move on the smallest seed of faith, where the mountain's in the way. There's a name we can claim that commands the chains to break as we lift our song of praise. Now to him who's able to do more than we ask or imagine, or to him who's worthy of praise, to him be the power forever. There's a cross, can it be the Savior crucified to save a wretch like me? There's a grave, it's living proof, the death was never final, and there's nothing he can do. Say
Hey, thanks for listening to the River Valley Podcast. It would help us out a ton if you could rate and review this podcast wherever you listen to podcasts, and also share it with somebody. We hope that this isn't just for people in our church. We hope that this is people far beyond that, but we know that people in our church maybe don't even know about it yet. We're talking about it on weekends. We're sharing in announcements, but maybe you're a listener, but someone in your small group isn't, or someone at your campus. So would you send it to them, share it with them so that they can receive this, and then rate it wherever you listen so that more people can find this podcast.
If you have questions about faith, about church, about belief, about theology, about the Bible, please submit your questions. You can find us on Instagram at River Valley MN. You can also email us, finding us on our website, rivervalley.org. Please, we want to hear your questions so that we can continue to answer those or at least respond to them here on the podcast. And again, thank you for listening. We'll see you in church this weekend.